get for doing a Hawaiian act?
All right, gentlemen, you come on forward. Give us an opportunity to pray for our offerings and our missionaries this morning. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you. I thank you that as we worship you, we come into your presence and that, Lord, you're in our midst now. Lord, where two or more are gathered, you are here, and so we rejoice in that. Lord, we pray for our worship time now and the giving of our offerings. Lord, that you would use these finances to further your kingdom here and around the world. Lord, for the 21 missionaries in India, Lord, we just pray that all of their needs would be met each and every day. Be with them, guide them, protect them, and just direct them to where you would have them to go. Father, for the Joshua Fund in Israel as well, Lord, just continue to provide for that ministry and pour out your spirit upon them. Father, for Mario down in La Paz, Mexico, with the orphanage and the ministries there, we just pray for those children, Lord, that each and every one of them would be provided for and that they would realize that their provision is coming from you and that they would glorify you in their lives. Father, for the U-Turn ministry over in Pahrump, we thank you for that ministry and the work that you're going to be doing there. We thank you that it's about to get opened up, and Father, we just pray for your continued provision for that ministry each and every day. For here in the valley, Lord, we thank you for Calvary Downtown Outreach and the work that you're doing there, and pray that there would be more people come to know you through the going forth of your gospel as they come in to get a physical meal and they would hear the truth of your word. Lord, also for the Women's Resource Center, we thank you for that ministry and equipping those counselors to be able to give good biblical wisdom to those families that are coming in looking for it. And for here in Henderson, Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, you know the needs, and we're so thankful that you're so faithful to meet them and provide. So we just pray you bless these finances now and bless those that are providing it. So go before us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me, a few announcements. Coming up is the men's breakfast. That's always on the second Saturday of the month, and I believe that's June 11th this month, and it starts at 8 a.m. in the morning. And so, gentlemen, if you haven't been to one of these yet, I encourage you, come on out and be a part. It's such a blessing, and it's quite a good outreach as well. And also, Ladies Fellowship meets a little bit later in the morning. They meet at 11:30 for prayer and fellowship. And so, ladies, I encourage you also, if you haven't been a part, if you have been to the Ladies Fellowship and you see somebody that hasn't been there, talk to them, invite them, and give them that personal invitation, because I know the ladies have a great time there as well, and it's the Lord really moves through that time, and so I encourage you to come out and be a part of that. Then, ladies, another thing, we have Secret Sister Ministry coming up, and there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer, and if you would be interested in knowing more about that, I guess you have to sign up, because they didn't tell me any more than that, so it's a secret. So I don't have a lot of information, but sign up in the foyer. Get involved with that, and from what I hear, it's going to be a blessing. So, ladies, encourage you, before you leave today, be sure to stop by and get signed up for that. And then we have some prayer requests, but before we do that, it's graduation time. And so I know, Ramon, would you stand up? Oh, there you go. What, wrong name? Yeah, I got the wrong name. I'm sorry. What's your name? Alan. I knew that. I just was making sure you did. Okay. Anyone else graduating this year? See, okay, he's going to be here. Oh, Cecil's graduating too. Okay. So, Alan, we want to pray for you and encourage you. You know, he's done quite well in high school. He was in the band and was able to travel and do different things. And so just if he is on the way out, just encourage him and so that'll be a good thing. So I thank you for being here and staying committed to the school. And so we thank you for that. So let's pray. We have some prayer requests. Let's take them before the Lord. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. Lord, that you are able to hear our prayers. And Lord, we thank you that when we pray anything according to your will, you hear us. And then you say we have what we've asked for. So, Lord, we pray your will be done with these requests today. Lord, we first come with Carrie, Lord. Just lift her up. She's having issues with her brain, just kind of slouching down in her ear cavity, Lord, and it's prevented her from hearing, and they're going to need to do surgery on there and even take part of her brain. And so, Lord, we know this seems so serious to us, but yet it's nothing for you. So we lift her up to you and pray your hand of healing be upon her. And that, Lord, you would direct the doctors and guide them as they perform this surgery, and that it would have a result that would have a powerful effect upon her hearing and upon her life. Lord, we also want to pray for Kathy today that's having a bad reaction to some medication from a dental work she had. So we lift her up to you and pray your will be done concerning that. Lord, for Kevin is involved in a custody battle. We thank you for that. We pray, Lord, he's in custody for his daughter, Lord. We pray your will be done there. And we pray for those that are in charge of the court, the system, and all those things, that, Lord, you would lead and guide them and direct them by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for that. We also continue to pray for Kurt and his kidney situation. Lord, he's back on the transplant list once again, and we pray that now would be the time that donor would step forward and they would be able to get him taken care of. We continue to pray for a job for Mike and pray that, Lord, you would equip him and prepare him and direct him where you would have him go to work. Lord, we continue to pray for JoJo and the pregnancy with triplets. And Lord, we just pray continued growth for those triplets. We continue to pray for a healthy and happy delivery, and that everything would go as smooth as possible for her when those triplets come into the world. We also continue to pray for Kathy that she would have a safe place to live, guide and direct her to that place. Lord, we pray for Brian that would for healing for Lou Gehrig's disease. Lord, we know that science doesn't have a cure, they don't have an answer, but we know you're able. And so we pray, if it be your will, that you would set him free from this and you would be glorified for it. Pray for Shane and Taylor, just for total body healing for both of them. Lord, we want to continue to pray for Kelly and her recovery from surgery, and pray that that went well and continues to go well, and that there's complete clearness in her body from that. So we pray for that. We pray also for young Madison, 12 years old. Lord, had a heart transplant a few months back. Now she has infection in her brain and is having strokes. Lord, we just bring little Madison to you and pray that, Lord, you would heal her, you would touch her, and Lord, also bring her family to salvation through this ordeal. And so be in their midst, Lord, and speak to their hearts. Allow them to call out to you and to put their trust and their faith in you, and let your will be done concerning Madison. Lord, we pray for these with chronic affliction. We pray for Peggy and Michael, for Cecil and Risa and Carrie, and Mary Ann and Russ and Joe and Tom, for Don, Steve, Donna, Mark, for Jennifer, Ryan, and Jordan, Desiree and Raquel, George, Connie, Rose, Chrissy, and Kathy, Virginia and Sam, Kelsey and Sarah, Tristan and Andrew and Paul, and Kathy and Bill and Adele. Lord, we pray for these that have different afflictions, different situations in different parts of their bodies, Lord, different times of their lives. We just lift them up to you and pray your grace. Your grace and your mercy be with them, and Lord, if it be your will, that your divine, miraculous healing take place in them. And so touch them and give them just a special day today. Father, for those with cancer today, we come with John and Donna, come with Rosanna and Michael and Steve and another Donna and another Michael. Lord, we pray for these that have cancer, and we know that to the world this is just such a dreaded thing, and yet, Lord, we know that you are greater than every cancer cell in their body. You know where each bad cell is, and you know if it's your will to just deliver them and set them totally free. Lord, be with their family members. Help their families to be able to be encouraged and strengthened through this time. And Lord, help them to encourage their loved ones as well. And so, Lord, we pray for them. We pray for the procedures and the treatments that they're receiving, that, Lord, they would have no negative effects, that they would only have the positive effects that they're intended to have. And so be with each of those. Father, for those that need deliverance and salvation today, we pray for Donna, Michael, Tristan, Mark, and Paul, Kimberly and Raquel, Laura and Kyle and Brooke and Jacob and Jada, Tracy and family, Ernest's family and Matthew's family and Don's family and Rick's family and Teresa and Margot and Myrna, Kenji and Micah and family, Marianne and Russ and Sherry, Marilyn and Connie and Joe and Robin and Al and Annette, for Tom and Richard and Judy and Tiffany, David and the Newman family and Raquel and Jeff's family and Sonia and Casey, Kylie and Leto, and also for Jake. Father, all of these are walking in darkness. They're all separated from the truth of your love. And so we pray that you would send people into their paths today that would be able to share the love of Jesus with them. They would be able to share the truth of the gospel with them in such a way that they would receive it and they would honor and glorify you in their lives. And so we just pray for each and every one of them. Pray that you would draw them unto you. Draw them, Lord Jesus, to the cross. And Father, we pray for the going forth of your word this morning, that you would minister to us through your scriptures, that we would be encouraged and able to take something away today that we can use to apply to our daily lives. And so I just lift you up now, and we pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you, Jesus. Turn in your Bibles. Does anybody need a Bible? Over here, over there. Okay, once you get your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Kind of going to veer away from Luke for a little bit today and go into kind of a topical message on the word aloha. And like I say, I got this idea a couple of nights ago to Google the word aloha. And the Lord gave me this neat kind of outline, or an acronym actually. And he showed me some scriptures that go with it. And so that's what we're basically going to be talking about today. But when you consider the people that live in Hawaii, it is very common, it's so common for them to use the word aloha. And they use it in greetings as well as farewells. And they also just use it in an expression of love. So to them, it is a way of life. And when I thought about that, aloha being a way of life, I thought for us as believers, Christianity should be our way of life. That should be the very depths of our soul, the very depths of our being should be the Christian way of life in that sense. And so besides those common meanings of the word aloha, it holds within itself all a person needs to know how to interact rightfully to the natural world. So when we think about Christianity being a way of life, that the Bible, the scriptures hold within it all we need to know how to relate rightfully to the world around us, because it's found in the Word of God. It's found in the scriptures. So these insights describe an attitude of a way of life, sometimes called in Hawaii the aloha spirit, or the way of aloha, is what is referred to lots of times over there. So this spirit of aloha was an important lesson taught to the children of the past because it was about the world that they were a part of. So the children started learning these principles and these ways when they were young. And they were taught that way. And the Bible tells us to teach our children in the way that they should go, and to instruct them in the Word of God and in these different ways and in the Christian way of life, just as they would teach the aloha way of life to their children at that time. So one of the early teachings of aloha goes something like this. It says aloha is being a part of all. Now that's only the start, but as I read that and as I wrote that down, I thought about who is a part of all. It's God. God is everywhere. He's the all-encompassing God, the almighty God. And so when you think aloha as being a part of all, you could put that aloha as being a part of God, and all, or God, being a part of me. And when we receive Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit living and abiding within us. And then the next two lines are interesting. It says, when there is pain it is my pain. When there is joy, it is also mine. When there is pain, it is also my pain. When there is joy, it is also mine. So as we turn to 1 Corinthians 12, I want to look at the Christian way of life and see what God calls us to as the body of Christ. So 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 25. Verse 25 says, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. So for us as believers, there should be no schism between us. When one person is honored, we all should be honored. We should all be honored that Ellen is graduating. That's a special thing. You know, and that then as the body along with him, that's an honor. And it's a reflection on Christ and Christ in him. But then it says if one member suffers, we all must suffer. And you know, that's the hard part sometimes. Because a lot of times we see somebody suffering and we just don't really know what to do. We don't really know how to minister to them. We want to try to think of something to say. And sometimes we go ahead and we say something, and a lot of times it's the wrong thing because we never really know what to say. But sometimes, you know, you come into the sanctuary and somebody may be sitting there and just weeping. And it's like, ooh, maybe I should go over there, but what would I tell them? What would I say to them? And so we go to the other side of the sanctuary a lot of times. And here's the thing about that. You don't have to say anything. Sometimes they just need you to go over and put your hand on their shoulder and just pray and let the Holy Spirit lead that prayer. Or just go over and say, you know what, I'm here. You know, we're here with you. We're standing with you. And that may be all they need. And sometimes that's always the best. But there's this point of where in Aloha, I said, when there is pain, it is my pain. When there is joy, it's also mine. And then we apply to our Christian way of life this scripture, this context, that we're all one body. We need to be loving one another in that respect and in that context. And then this teaching to the children went on to say, I respect all that is a part of the Creator and part of me. I will not willfully harm anyone or anything. When food is needed, I will take only my need and explain why it's being taken. The earth, the sky, the sea are mine to care for, to cherish, and to protect. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. Turn over to Genesis and see a comparison scripture that goes with this part of that teaching, where it says, basically, the earth, the sky, the sea are mine to care for, to cherish, and to protect. And in Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 28, look what the Lord says to Adam and Eve here. Verse 28. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Verse 29 says, and God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, it will, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. So God created this earth. And he put everything on it, and he put man in dominion over it, in authority over these things. And he has given all these things for us. He spent 6 days creating all of this stuff. All of these things just for us. But then he put us as those caretakers. And so when the teaching of Aloha said the earth, the sky, the sea are mine to care for, to cherish, and protect, scripturally, as living in the Christian way, that's our way as well. So this is aloha. That's what they started indwelling within their children at a young age. But as the child grew, as they got a bit older, the need for a fundamental code of ethics was taught. There needed some sort of boundaries. Because God gives us all of these boundaries, but there needed to be this code. And when I Googled aloha, this is what I found. I found this code under the deeper layer of the meaning of the word aloha. And it comes in the form of an acronym. And I love acronyms anyway. I really like them. And so this kind of fit right into my way of going with things. But I seen this acronym of aloha. And I seen what the Hawaiian breakdown of these letters, each letter in Hawaiian, what it represents. And then I seen scriptures that go right so well along with them. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. And so the first letter, A. The A is A-L-A, Allah. Ela. I'm not sure how to say it exactly. Gloria was sitting over here at the first service just praying for me, trying to get these Hawaiian words right. But it didn't work. But those three letters, A-L-A, actually stand for being watchful and alertness. Having that alertness, being watchful in that way. And so that's the aloha meaning of the letter A. Where's the scripture for the Christian way for us? Well, as we look at the scripture in Mark 14:38, it says, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Watch and pray. Watch and pray that you do not enter into temptation. If you find over the last week or however long that it seems like one temptation after another has been coming your way and you've been falling right into it. You kind of just stumble right into them. Wow, Lord, why did I do that? And we, of course, go to 1 John 1:9 and confess it, and He forgives us. But if you find you've been stumbling into those temptations, could be that you're not watching and praying enough. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. Such an exhortation for us. Another scripture that we find going along with this is in 1 Peter 5:8. And I want to, and the New American Standard Bible says it this way: "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Be of sober spirit means be of clear mind, be of one focus. Our focus on that ultimate goal of getting closer and closer to Jesus. And closer to one another, but closer to Him being that ultimate goal. Have that sober mind, that clear focus, and be on the alert. Why? Because our adversary, the devil, is prowling around like that roaring lion, seeking someone to destroy, to devour. He's there, so we need to be alert. So even as they taught their children this A part of the acronym, be watchful, be alert, we can see that it's pretty much founded on the Bible. It's an encouragement right from the scriptures in that context with it. And then the next letter, the letter L. Lokahai. Means working with unity. Working with unity. And of course, the first scripture that came to my mind when I seen this was Psalm 133:1. "Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." To have that unity, to be in unity one with another, to be unified. And what being unity means that, you know, we're all together and we may have some disagreements. We may not agree on the same thing, but we can agree to stay together, to say that. We see that in the next scripture that I have here, Ephesians 4:3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. See, sometimes it's a real endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Sometimes it's hard because we have these conflicts with one another, even in the body of Christ. We have these disagreements, and it's so easy for the self to rise up when we want to prove ourselves to be right. But the Bible says we don't have to defend ourselves. The Lord goes before us. He'll deal with us. And another scripture that comes to my mind, it just came this morning when I got here, but the scripture says, how can two walk together unless they agree to do so? And the context of that verse is, it doesn't mean that you're walking, maybe so to speak, on the same exact road, but you're going to the same place. In other words, one of you may be up here on this road, and maybe one on down here on this road, and it may be totally different roads, but you're agreeing that you're going to go to the ultimate place of getting closer to Jesus, getting closer to the Word of God, and getting closer to one another, that you're drawing closer and closer to that. And so being in unity doesn't mean that you have to agree with everything of those around about you. It just means that no matter how much of a disagreement you have, you give it over to the Lord. If you disagree with something with somebody and they have their stance, you have your stance, instead of trying to prove yourself right, just say, God, you've got to take that. Show me if I'm right or show them if they're wrong. Because believe me, God can work in their heart a lot faster than we can. We are not the Holy Spirit for anybody. And a lot of times we try to be. We try to shape other people into our image or our concept of how they should be. And that's the job for the Holy Spirit, to do it for them, each and every one of them. So there's being alert, being aware, and then there's this L of unity, being in unity. And then, of course, the next letter is O. The O, Ohio, almost. It sounds like Ohio to me. Truthful and honesty. Being truthful and honest. How important is truth, especially in the body of Christ? It's right at the top of the rung. It's right up there in the top where we need to be truthful one with another. In Ephesians 4:15, it says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Speaking the truth in love. Now, unfortunately, sometimes the truth isn't very loving. So it takes us being involved and having an attitude of prayer and intercession before we go to that person and allow the Holy Spirit to go before us and hopefully do a work in their heart so that when we share whatever the Lord's put on our heart to share with them, they receive it in a loving way. But we need to have our heart founded in love in that. But I think it's interesting that it says that they may grow up into all things. It talks about truth, and then it talks about growing up. And so I believe the more mature we get in the Lord, the more founded we get in his word, the easier for us to be truthful in a loving way is. Because we become able to just convey the truth of the word of God, not our opinions, not our thoughts, and not our insights, and not who, it's not all about us anymore. It becomes about them. And then there's a couple of promises about truth in the scriptures. Psalm 51, 6a. It says, behold, you desire truth in the inner parts. God desires truth in our innermost parts, in our innermost beings, that we wouldn't lie to one another, we wouldn't lie to ourselves, and definitely we don't try to lie to him because we can't anyway. He knows our heart. He knows what's there. And the other thing about truth is Psalm 91, 4a, or actually b, says, his truth shall be your shield and your buckler. Your truth shall be your shield and your buckler. Why do we usually lie? Normally it's because we're either trying to get out of trouble or we're trying to manipulate something in some way. And it doesn't seem to ever work out. Think about when your kids were children and they did something wrong and you knew exactly what they did and you brought them to you and you said, what did you do? And when they lie about it, what's it do? It makes you more angry and it makes it worse for them. If they come and just fess up to it right away, all right, well, good. Thank you for acknowledging that. And the punishment isn't near as bad. It goes so much easier with the truth because the truth is like that shield. It's like that shield that protects us. If you stand on the Word of God, if you know the things that you're doing and the things that you're saying, if you can have a clear conscience before God, I've stood on the truth of God's word, then you have nothing to fear. Nothing will get through that shield to you. But when you start telling lies, I like the little thing, little lies, you know, it's you know, oh, it was just a little white lie. Well, if what makes white paint gray is a little, one little dot of black in it. You know, and so it's that truth is there. It needs to be that shield. And of course, in John 8:32, it says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." When you're standing on the truth, when you're speaking the truth in love especially, there's freedom in that. There's freedom in knowing that, you know what, there's no consequences going to come against you. There's nothing that will come against you because you've told the truth. You've told the truth. You'll be free. You'll be free from the condemnation that the world will want to put on you. You'll be free from any attacks that come because God will be that shield for you. He'll be there, and you have that freedom in Him. So we have alertness. We have unity. We have truthfulness. The next letter, the letter A, is humility. Humility. Matthew 5:3 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." This is the first thing that we talk about on Monday nights in the Most Excellent Way. In the Most Excellent Way, we have this thing called 10 Attitudes of Victorious Living. And they're based on the Beatitudes out of Matthew 5. And this is the first one. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And the context of that type of humility in that verse is not the one like we think of, we got to be humble. Being poor in spirit means that we get to a point and a place where we realize in and of ourselves, we can do nothing. We can do nothing of any eternal consequences apart from Jesus. That's why he said in John 15:5, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." So we come to that place of being poor in spirit, broken to that point where we realize that, Lord, it's got to be you. I give up on trying to change. I give up on trying to stop doing this or stop doing that. I'm going to just give it to you. Instead of saying, "Lord, take this from me," say, "Lord, I give it to you." Because see, he waits for us to give him things before he takes them out of our closed fist. And so we have that place of being poor in spirit, humility in that respect. But then the other side of humility, of course, we find in James 4:6. It says, "But he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble." God resists the proud. When the more prideful we get, the less we'll feel God's presence in our life. So we need to be humbled before him. Coming, like I say, to John 15:5, "Lord, apart from you, I can't do anything." It's all got to be you. It's all you, Lord. That's where we come to. And then, of course, the next one, James 4:10, says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." See, we don't have to prove our point with people. We don't have to take a stand. If you know the truth, if you speak the truth in love and you just humble yourself and surrender to those that may be trying to prove their point, God will deal with that. He'll lift you up. He'll show the truth. He'll have all of that come to play in the right way at just the right time. We'll read about that here in a second. The next scripture talks about 1 Peter 5:6. As we see that verse, it says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, so he may exalt you in due time." See, that's the problem we have today because we live in this microwave society. Everything has to happen within a minute or two. "Lord, I humbled myself. I did what was right. Why aren't you..." Dot, 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 dot. Lord, it's been 2 hours now. I know. It's terrible, isn't it? You know, see, God answers every prayer we pray. Sometimes yes, sometimes no, sometimes wait. But his timing is better than our timing. If we just have that ability to realize, just stay humble, and in due time, he's going to reveal the truth to whatever it needs to be. Whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation, if it's with an ungodly boss at work, whether it's a family member that, man, every time we have family dinner, it's like World War III. Whatever it is, whatever the situation, if you humble yourself before the Lord in due time, He's going to exalt you. He will bring that out because it's a promise from Him. It's true. He's true to His word. So we have alertness, we have unity, we have truthfulness, we have humility. And then the last A, ohuna, I think that's right, patient, what is it? Ahunui. It's easy for you to say. Yeah. Ahunui, patient, perseverance. Patient, perseverance. Here's another one we struggle with really, really hard, patience. Look at what Galatians 5:22 and 23 says in the ESV. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Wow, patience. It seems like every one of us struggle with that. Everybody I've always talked to that as a believer, they always say, I'm not going to pray for patience. Because we know what God puts us through to get patience, right? He deals with us, gets us through those things. But patience is a hard thing in our life today, especially, like I said, we're in a microwave generation. Our society is so quick. We need everything right now. We went over the parable of the sower a few weeks back, but in Luke 8:15 it said, but the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Remember, there was four seeds and only one of them bore fruit. All the others fell on this bad ground, but the one that won, that had that good heart and with patience, they bore fruit. Be patient with the Lord working in your life. Don't look at other people and think, well, man, they're doing this. Maybe I should be. Be patient with yourself. You are a different person than everybody around you. God deals with each of us as individuals, one-on-one, personally. And He knows what each of us need to be, what our growth should be, and everything else. And so we bear fruit, though. He says, bear fruit with patience. In Hawaii, the kahuna, David Bray, interprets this code as, come forward. Be in unity and harmony with yourself, who God made you to be, in other words, and with God and with mankind. Basically, the way he put this acronym, the way he summed it up in that sense. In other words, be honest, be truthful, be patient, be kind, be humble. And he also stated that to the Hawaiian of old, aloha meant God in us. That's what it meant in the old days, God in us. And we think about that as such an awesome thing. Turn, if you would, to go ahead and turn to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. I want to read a little bit more out of this area. Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to be starting in verse 22 again. We're going to reread it, but out of the New King James this time. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, where instead of patience, same thing, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another to envying one another or envying one another. So to walk in the Spirit is crucifying the flesh. Well, the problem with crucifixion is you need to have both hands on the cross. So in other words, there's no possible way for us to crucify ourselves. That goes back to, it has to be Jesus. The Lord has to do that crucifying work in us. We can't, and we have to stop trying. And so as we think about this area of the fruit of the Spirit, And you know, you think about, what is really the secret of life and abundance of life? Well, John 15:16 says this, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you shall go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give you." We didn't choose him, he chose us. He chose us to go out and bear fruit for his glory in that way. Bearing fruit. Well, what is fruit? Well, Galatians 5 here describes it in the very simplest form. The start in that. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Period. The fruit of the Spirit. Well, you may ask, well, what about the joy and the peace, the long-suffering and gentleness and goodness, meekness and self-control? Well, when Paul said that the fruit of the Spirit is love, when he penned that through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I believe the implication is that joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control, those all describe what love is. If you have that love, of that agape love of Christ, those things automatically come. So if you have that agape, if you have that aloha, if you think about those, that acronym for all of those letters, alertness, unity and truthfulness, humility and perseverance and patience, that all stems from love. The agape love that comes from Jesus, that unconditional love. So fruit doesn't exist for itself, though. We have to realize that. It's not for ourselves. It exists for others. Too often we want the fruit of the Spirit in our life so that we can be satisfied, so that we can be happy, so we can be fulfilled. But that's not the purpose of fruit. That's just not what its purpose is. So far with aloha, we found an explanation of our place in the world and on this world. We've seen a code of ethics to help us in our interactions with the world as we apply these scriptures. But now, what is our prime directive? Well, another way of looking at it is, as we break down the root words of this word aloha, it can mean sharing in the present, joyous affection, joy, life, energy, life, and breath. Those are all part of the context of that word. And using the Hawaiian language, as you would translate that, it would basically say the joyful sharing of life, energy in the present, or simply joyfully sharing life. Simply joyfully sharing life. And what greater call than we have as Christians to just joyfully sharing the life. And of course, in John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So that life that we should be sharing is that life of Jesus. We should be sharing that. And so often, we like talking about ourselves. We like, I did this, I did that, I am this, and I am that. But it comes back to Jesus. Are we sharing the life of Jesus with those around us? That's really the bearing of fruit. But another layer of meaning can be found by factoring in some of the root words in aloha, which mean to burn, or to sparkle, or to shine forth light. So there's a shining forth of light. And of course, in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Verse 15 goes on and says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." See, this should be our way of life. When you think of the aloha way, and you think of when you go to the islands and when you're in Hawaii, it's kind of like a peaceful setting. You just kind of slow down a little bit and everything's kind of slower paced, because why be in a hurry? You're on an island. How far can you go? You know, but there's this sharing of this light, this principle that should come out, that Christian way of life should come out of us. John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Boy, to be able to have that light, to be able to know that, to be able there. And then it goes on, and the L-O part, is which means to obtain or procure. Together, all of these things show a transformation of energy, a burning or showing forth of this light, a product of energy or transformation, an effort to obtain something. And what are we all after? What are we trying to obtain? Getting to heaven. You know, that's our way of life should be such a one that is getting us, drawing us closer and closer to Jesus. The theological term is sanctification. We're being sanctified on an ongoing, continually motion. It's a habitual, continual action is what sanctification involves. And so as we think about the Christian way of life, as we think of the word aloha, alertness, unity, truthfulness, humility, and perseverance or patience, boy, what great things for our Christian way of life to keep in mind. To be able to realize that when some of these areas are lacking in your life, to be able to pray, to be able to think about that, to be able to bring something to mind to remind you, oh, aloha. Oh, I need to be living this type of life. I'm living a hectic, fast-paced, caught up in the rituals of the world. I'm no longer being renewed in my mind by the Word of God, but I'm being conformed more to the world. Think about Hawaii, in a sense, and the aloha way. Think about the agape way, the agape love that comes through Jesus Christ. Having that patient understanding, being able to just wait upon the Lord, being able to know that He's bringing about things that He's going to bring about in His time, in His way. I shared at the first service, we need a drummer. So if any of you miraculously learn how to play drums, come see me. But you know, the Lord has told me, wait. It's not time yet, He keeps telling me. Wait upon the Lord. When it's time, He'll bring the drummer. But it's hard. It's hard to wait, but that's the Christian way. When He calls us to that point, when He calls us to that place, it's time to wait. And so as we come to this aloha service today, as we think about the word aloha, especially, I just seen these scriptures that went with this acronym, and I seen how completely they described the Christian way, the way of agape. Because like I said, the bearing of the fruit, the spirit, the fruit of the spirit is love. That's an agape love. It's an unconditional love that gives without expecting anything in return. And you know, I think of Hawaii when you get off of a plane and they bring the lei and they put it over your neck. And you know, it's just such a loving experience. Just they're giving. They're giving. They don't expect any, you know, oh, how much does that cost? No, it's just they give that as a gift. We need to give the gift of Jesus as freely as we can, as lovingly as we can in that way. So today we have communion, the Lord's Supper. And so I'm thankful that it comes today, because as we talk about this way of life, a Christian way of life, and before I forget, we have gluten-free crackers up here if anyone needs gluten-free. And they put it right in front of me with a sign on it so I wouldn't forget, and I forgot it the first service. So, but as we think about this aloha way of life, you know, we need to realize and know and understand that God has anointed all of us as believers, as the body of Christ, to be in unity, to be able to be humble and to persevere, and just to walk forth in His will under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord's Supper is a serious time to remember. It's a serious time to remember what He did for us on the cross. What He did with His body as it was shed, His blood was shed for us. And so as you get the elements, go ahead and hold on to them. We'll partake of them together. And as you are remembering, just listen to the words of this song and see as the Lord would just minister to you also.
In remembrance of me, eat this bread. In remembrance of me, drink this wine. In remembrance of me, pray for the time when God's own will is done. In remembrance of me, heal the sick. In remembrance of me, feed the poor. In remembrance of me, open the door and let your brother in. Let him in. Take, eat, and be comforted. Drink and remember too that this is my body and precious blood shed for you, shed for you. In remembrance of me, search for truth. In remembrance of me, always love. In remembrance of me, don't look above, but in your heart, in your heart, look in your heart for God. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. In remembrance of me.
Lord, we do remember you. Remember you on that Passover night when you gathered with your disciples to share in that Passover feast, a celebration of when those that had the blood on their doorpost, that the angel of death passed over them. And as you drew your disciples together to celebrate that night, you took the bread, you broke it and you blessed it. And you said that it was a symbol of your body that would be broken for all of us. And so we come as your disciples today, those followers of your teaching, just thanking you and giving you glory for the shedding of your blood in the broken body. And so as we partake of this bread today, we partake remembering, Lord, your body that was broken for all of our sins. So let's partake together. Father, it says in the same way that you took the cup and you blessed it and you said that it was representative of your blood, the blood of the new covenant that would be shed for the remission of all sin. So Lord, we receive that forgiveness through that blood today. We receive that purification because of the blood that was shed for us there at Calvary. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus coming so willingly, so obediently, to shed his blood for us. And because of that blood, we have a hope of eternal life. So let's partake of the juice together. Thank you, gentlemen. So, Lord, I do thank you. I thank you that as we remember your love, we remember your sacrifice made for us. Lord, we come today, and as we look at your word and see the Christian way of life, Lord, help us to watch and pray. Help us to be in unity toward that bond of peace with one another. Help us all to be truthful in our words, in our actions, in our lifestyles. Lord, keep us humble before you, that you might exalt us in due time. And help us to be patient, Lord. Patient with one another, patient with ourselves, that we may grow in you each and every day. So, Father, I pray for all of us here. I pray for anyone here today that has been struggling in some of these areas. And maybe that there's some of these words that we've talked about today that you're falling short in. And you just want a prayer. Have me pray as we close this service for you. Just raise up your hand and I'll pray for you that you might be stronger in these areas. Anyone at all? God bless you over there. God bless you there and there. God bless you back there. God bless you over there. You can put your hands down. Father, for each of these that raised their hands, Lord, we know that I encompassed a lot of different areas today. Lord, there's a lot involved in this acronym of Aloha. There's a lot involved in these scriptures that we presented today. And I pray for each of these that raised their hand right now, that you would touch them, that, Lord, they would receive your healing in their life where necessary. You would receive provision for them in the areas or area that is needed in their walk. Encourage them, strengthen them, and just bless them today. Before they leave here, just allow them to feel and know your presence and your filling of the Holy Spirit. Be with them now in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand up and praise him.
Share with you, I got saved living in Hawaii, and it was amazing. I got baptized on Thanksgiving Day 1993, and So the Hawaiian culture, you know, Maui was my god for a long time. Before I was saved, I used to go there and, you know, I'd lived in the mountains in the winter and lived in the beach in the summer. You know, it was a great life, right? And so I thought, till I knew the Lord. And God opened my eyes when I was there, and I got saved. And it was amazing. Wonderful, beautiful place. So I really wanted to thank Pastor Tim for bringing this Aloha Sunday up today. And you know, it's funny because, you know, earlier I shared with Pastor Tim that the Lord told me this morning, you know, I was praying, hey, Lord, is there anything I could share with your people, you know? And it was, you know, as you have a chance to worship, and it was just a, you know, God loves us so much, you know. But it was that, you know, the same spirit he's given to all of us, you know, and he doesn't withhold anything, you know, for us. He wants us all to have the gifts. We've all been given all the gifts, you know. And like Tim shared, you know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Sometimes we get in our own ways, right? But I wanted to share a special word in Hawaiian. It's called kuhela. And it means to rise up like an ocean wave and to move forward. So with the gospel in our hearts and the light of the Lord in our hearts and on our minds, let's rise up as a body of believers and move forward like an ocean wave. Okay? Praise the Lord. God bless you guys. Amen.